We worship the Lord again today, Good Friday. Before we commence, I have some information about the future that I would like to share with you. We are expected to be back worshipping in the Willow Tree Pub on Sunday the 23rd of May, which is Pentecost. I also want to share other dates with you. On the 17th of July at 2 p.m. will be the ordination and induction of Richard Hood as Associate Minister working alongside me. The future for the Willows looks very hopeful, with support being gained from Steve Darling, the leader of Torbay Council, which should enable us in the summer to run activities for families and other activities for teenagers, and in the long term to be given a piece of ground where we can have our own community centre. There is also to be a community clear-up of rubbish in the Willows on the 17th of April between 10 and 11:30, meeting at the junction of Condor Drive and Cormorant Close. Leaflets about this are being distributed by councillors, by Sally Farrant and by others, and there is an invitation to come on that clear-up in fancy dress if you wish. You bring your own drink and your own gloves, but the actual picking instrument will be supplied for you, and all safeguards will be taken. Now we come to start our worship, and we're going to begin with the hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Would take my stand. cross thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face.
Content to let the world know by, to know no shame or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, I glory all the cross.
We come to our Lord in prayer on this very, very special day. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you came into this world and died on the cross at the request of your Father. God, our Father, how wonderful it was that you should allow your Son to be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. And you did this, and he actually died on the cross for us because you wanted to deal with our sin once and for all. Jesus, who was without sin, was the only one who could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so it's an amazing sacrifice. It's amazing love that we see in all that we're thinking about today. Lord, we know that you not only died for the world you created, but we know it was your hope and it was your desire that all people should live together in peace. And we thank you for the way that you have protected your world. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we seek to defeat the work of Satan through this pandemic. Lord, we pray that there will be less and less people affected. We pray that more and more people will have the vaccinations. And we pray, Lord, that as the regulations are relaxed, that we might be sensible about the way that we act. Lord, be with the world leaders, be with our own leaders, national and local. Be with our families and our friends. Lord, we just want to say that we love you. We want to serve you. We want to be all that you want us to be. And yet, even to do that, we need your help. And so we thank you that with the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed live lives that are worthy of your name. So, Lord, be with us, and may more and more people in this world come and confess Jesus as their Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen.
Luke 23, verses 1 to 12. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ the King." So Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the trouble all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and now he has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. Then he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction. He sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been waiting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracles. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, strongly accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressed him in an elegant robe, and they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Amen.
We're now going to sing the well-known hymn, "There is a Green Hill Far Away."
Chapter 23, starting at verse 13. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the crowd to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
And our next song, "It Is a Thing Most Wonderful."
The next reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 26 to 43. It's headed, "The Crucifixion." As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed. People will beg the mountains, fall on us, and plead with the hills, bury us. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothing by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he really is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen.
And now we sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Luke chapter 23 verses 44 to 56. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Then the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who'd followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
The message title today for Good Friday is Jesus Condemned and Crucified. The trial and death of Jesus revealed both the wicked heart of mankind and the gracious heart of God. When mankind was doing their worst, God was giving his best. The events that we are going to look at will not necessarily be found in the Gospel of Luke, but it also refers to information from the other gospel writers. Point 1. Luke 23, verses 1 to 25. Jesus and Pilate and Herod. In the handling of the trial of Jesus, Pilate proved to be indecisive. He kept looking for a loophole. He tried Jesus three times and declared him to be not guilty. Finding Jesus to be a Galilean, Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. Herod mocks Jesus and sends him back to Pilate. Previously, Herod and Pilate had been enemies, but now they became firm friends. Pilate continued to tell the Jewish leaders that he found Jesus not guilty. However, Pilate realized that this mishandling of the whole situation almost caused a riot. So, he ends up giving in to the Jewish leaders and to the crowds who were crying, "Crucify him!" Number 2. Verse 26 of chapter 23, Jesus and Simon. This is Simon of Cyrene, who had travelled 800 miles from Africa to be at the Passover. But things in the city were very different from what he expected. He came upon the crowd who were watching Jesus trying to carry his own cross. And suddenly, Simon was told by the officers to carry the cross for Jesus. I wonder how he felt and how he would explain it to his friends back at home. And yet, it turned out to be a wonderful opportunity for him, for it brought him into contact with Jesus. Some people believe that Simon of Cyrene was converted because of this encounter. And now number 3, verses 27 to 31. Jesus and the Jerusalem women. Public executions drew crowds, and this would especially attract spectators when it involved Jesus. In that crowd, there was a group of women who openly wept. Someone has pointed out that in the gospel records, no women were enemies of Jesus. His redemption had done much to dignify and elevate women. Jesus appreciated the sympathy of the women and tried to teach them a very important lesson. While they were weeping over the injustice of one man's death, he was looking ahead and grieving over the terrible destruction of the entire Jewish nation. Also, it would be the women and the children who would suffer the most in among those people. This is a fact that is supported by history. Number 4, Jesus and the male factors, verses 32 to 43. It had been prophesied that Jesus, the suffering servant, would be numbered with the transgressors. And we know he had two robbers, one on one side and the other on the other. Our Lord was crucified about 9 a.m., and he remained on the cross until 3 p.m. 7 times during these 6 terrible hours, Jesus called out, and these are the things he said: "Father, forgive them." To one of the robbers, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And to one of the women, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." This was Mary being told that John would look after her as her adopted son. Then for 3 hours there was darkness in the land and Jesus was silent. And then, after the 3 hours, Jesus said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And we're coming back to that in a minute. And then Jesus said, "I thirst." And then he said, "It is finished." And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Whilst they had been nailing Jesus to the cross, he repeatedly prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." The two robbers acted very differently. One joined in mocking Jesus. He also asked Jesus to release him from the cross. The other robber rebuked the mocker, and he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." This robber was saved by grace. He did not deserve it. He could not earn it. His salvation was personal and secure. It was guaranteed by the very words of Jesus. And then fifthly, Jesus and the Father, verses 44 to 49. You must keep in mind that what our Lord accomplished on the cross was an eternal transaction that involved him and the Father. Isaiah makes it clear that Jesus did not die for his own sins, because he had no sin. He died for our sins. He made his soul an offering for our sin. And when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This separation and how Jesus felt are not explained to us, but certainly it involves the fact that Jesus became sin for us. So I would think that once Jesus had taken the sins of the world on his body, and the Father being without sin, there must surely have been a short time of separation. Finally, our Lord's friends were there, including the women who followed Jesus. And it's significant that the women were the last at the cross and the first there on Easter morning. Finally, number six, Jesus and Joseph of Arimathea. When Jesus died, Joseph immediately went to Pilate for permission to have the body, while Nicodemus stayed at Calvary to keep watch. They tenderly took Jesus from the cross, quickly carried him to the garden, washed his body, and wrapped it with spices. It was a temporary burial. They would return after the Sabbath to do the job properly. It was important that the body be buried correctly, for God would raise Jesus from the dead. In this way, there could be no denial of the fact that Jesus was buried. But we know that this was not the end of the story, for we know he would rise again, as surely he did. And I want to share with you now something that I've shared on previous Good Fridays, and it's called A Paradox for Us to Ponder. The cross is a picture of violence and yet the key to peace. It is a picture of suffering, yet the key to healing. It is a picture of utter weakness, yet the key to power. A picture of capital punishment, yet the key to mercy and forgiveness. A picture of vicious hatred, and yet a key to love. A picture of supreme shame, and yet the Christian supreme peace. The Christian supreme boast. You see, the Christian faith claims that the cross really is the key to everything. God bless you all. Amen. Now, we are going to sing that wonderful hymn, On a Hill Far Away Stood an Old Wooden Cross.
Thank you.
And now on this special day, we are going to celebrate communion together. The occasion that we remember is when Jesus gave his body and his blood for us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you once again that you loved us so much, that you sent your Son into the world to die on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And as we celebrate communion now, we know that the bread and wine are just symbols, but they are symbols of the most precious body and blood of your Son Jesus, given so freely for us. And we thank you, Lord, and we promise to do our best to serve you and share your love with all the people that we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we remember that when he'd given thanks, Jesus broke the bread, he ate it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then likewise, Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This," said Jesus, "do in remembrance of me." Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for your amazing love, amazing grace, because what has happened is not something that we've earned or could earn. It's not something that we've worked for. It is your gift. It is by grace that we are saved. Lord, we thank you. Help us in faith to come and be willing at all times to serve you. So, Lord, hear this our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What a challenge the song that we're going to sing now is. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And of course, in one sense, we all were.
Oh,
Let us pray. Lord, we are filled with amazement. We are filled with the sense of all that you have done for us. Wonderful love, yes. We see it in you, Lord. And we ask that you will help us, that we might love you more and more, and that we might dwell in your service all the days of our life. And may we know your peace. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, be with us and all we love, both now and forevermore. Amen.